back. I'm Cliff East Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
We're back, guys. We are back. Let's start by taking a double step back, looking at the news. We got to get right into it because there's a lot of stuff to cover today. Joe, LeBron started a podcast with JJ Redick.
Yep.
You like it?
It's okay. I like JJ a lot more than LeBron, to be honest.
But I like JJ calling LeBron for capping.
calling him out.
I get highlights sent to me all the time, so I just gotta like look. And he's like, JJ's like, come on, come on.
I don't want to be a LeBron hater, but I am. The only thing, all journalists like they have, or all people they have this core, like value, right? They have this core thesis that drives everything they say. Like Nick Wright, his core thesis is LeBron is the GOAT. Literally anything else he talks about is related to that. When he talks about Tom Brady, he's talking about LeBron. When he talks about Kobe, he's talking about LeBron. When he talks about Michael Jordan, he's talking about LeBron being the GOAT. And that's his core, like, thesis, right? Like, that's his core truth that he wants to. Like, LeBron's is, I want people to think I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not I'm great. That's Michael Jordan's. Every time Michael Jordan talks, he believes in his own greatness. Every time LeBron talks, it sounds like he wants people to realize how great he is.
Mm.
And so it's always about like, people don't realize, like people don't understand this, like people don't know that. That's why I'm trying to do this throughout every game. That's why I put so much work into this and so much work. I don't know. It just, It's just, you know. I feel like JJ really likes to educate people.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like his core thing is, I want people to understand basketball better.
Yeah.
Like, he wants the fans to understand basketball, which I appreciate so much. Like, I like learning the things that he talks about. And that's why the topics he brings out, he wants to give fans, like, an inside look into what players think and how players feel. And even coaching. Like, he explains things that people might not know at the beginning, right? Like certain terms or certain plays, right? And I think that's great. I think that is awesome to educate the fan. But
sticking there, JJ said his inspiration was because Kobe's details. That was on ESPN. Mm. And he said that doesn't exist anymore, so he wanted to create something that was similar to that.
Yeah. I feel like Kobe, he didn't care if people got educated or not, but he just liked teaching.
Yeah.
He just liked breaking down the game himself. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he would have done that on his own. You know, that it's like details was like his journal. It's like his basketball journal, like what he thinks about when he watches it. And so, you know, those are the things you like. It comes off a certain way when it feels like, you know, this is what we hate, right? When somebody feels like they're trying to make you think a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, like when they're trying to shove an idea down
your
brain.
Because LeBron, he says this a lot on that podcast. He's like, fans don't understand this.
Yeah. See?
And then he says his statement.
It's
right?
just, you know.
Fans don't understand this.
I mean, you know what, Cliff? Every Sunday I could say, regular Christians don't understand this. Right? I mean, it's kind of condescending and pejorative, right? Like, you know, like they don't, there's no class in seminary that's like, you know what? You should say a lot. You know what? You should tell people they don't understand things a lot.
You pagans don't get this, okay? Don't understand. All right? Let me educate you as the Holy One. The
As
goat,
the
goat holiest. You're talking Jesus, you know, than me, like, okay?
It's the Father, then me, then Jesus. And you got the Holy Spirit down there. It's the Father,
Holy
then
Spirit
me,
is down
then
there.
Jesus, and then 80, and then the Spirit. Oh, Rich Paul. I forgot Rich.
That third part of the Trinity really didn't carry its weight, okay?
And then every other player who ever lived, and then Kevin Love. It's LeBron's rankings. So I just don't right. that kind of stuff. It turns me off. It makes me not want to listen to it.
We talked about this with WWE, right? Like they forced John Cena down the throat, right? That's like what was happening. And so it's
and
just
to
like,
me, look, I mean, props to LeBron because he's won over the masses, right? Yeah. I mean, he did get hated on a lot, and I think he deserves a lot of the credit. If it were purely based on his accolades and his accomplishments, I think I would like him more. But every time he caps and every time he promotes himself, it's just like, bro, you're the all-time leading scorer. You don't got to keep telling people how great you are.
He's won me over. He's put me under his genjutsu. I'm like, yes, Sama, please. Tell me more about how you're the only one with 40K and 11K and 11K. Of course, because no one else has 40K.
Yeah. It's when you tell your only child, you're my favorite.
I love it. I like love it now. It's like so good now. I'm bought in.
But it's educational. I'll say that much.
All right, Joe, Rajon and Blake have retired. Props to them. They played their final game. They're done with the NBA. Meanwhile, on the other hand, people are asking Tom Brady, hey, like if there's a situation that comes, he's like, it would be hard to say no. I'm like, what?
Wow. He's gonna play for the Clippers?
Come on, man. Come on. Yeah. He's going to be like, hey, I'm trying to be the GOAT. Of all sports.
Ah, gosh. I feel bad for Tom Brady. I want him to be happy. I want Tom Brady to find a second thing to invest himself into and not
like
football.
What Kobe did.
Yes.
When he won his
like
Oscar.
Yeah.
And he's coaching his kids.
Maybe Tom should do a football like the Mannings, man. Manning cast is so great.
It's one of the best shows in sports.
I mean, obviously, that's not Tom's thing. I don't think he's really that type of personality, but
no.
Something.
He's doing ads for Hertz. Let's go.
Gosh, that makes me more sad.
It's pretty sad. All right, Joe, we got to talk about Jonte Porter because he's suspended for life. He got expelled from the NBA because he was gambling on games. This man averages 4 points per game.
I think that's why it was his actions. And the betting lines were suspicious. Why are so many people picking Jonte Porter in their lineups and the over-unders? That is a little bit, you know, a little bit suspicious.
I didn't even know who this man was until the gambling stuff came out.
Yeah,
he
it's
made
crazy.
Himself famous.
I forgot who I saw. I saw a YouTube video on it like months ago.
Yeah.
And how it was so the lines were so crazy, and I was like, "Who is this guy?" And they showed the clips, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, something definitely is going on here." Joe, he is avoiding those rebounds like the plague. He does not want to grab that ball.
Here's my problem with it: if you're gonna do it, you gotta go big, okay? Mm. You can't. His lifetime, he won 20 grand. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
That's worse than a teacher's salary.
I mean, you got to go one or the other, right? You either got to keep it low and not get caught. Like, if you're only going to win 20 grand, you shouldn't have got caught. Right? Because that means you're a mastermind and it's a tiny amount and they're never going to find out that it's you. Right. Or... I mean, if he got caught and it was like 5 mil, you got to be like, all right, you know what? He's trying. He's trying out here.
He's like, this is my one shot.
Yeah, he went for it.
Let me get the bookies.
Yeah, mom spaghetti and all. It's like, you know, this is it. Got to go for it. But you get caught and it's 20K? You only won 20K and you got caught? That's the double negative.
Well, at least he's up versus Shohei's interpreter who's down $16 million.
Ouch. Well, no one really knows what's actually going on there, but I'm pretty sure the MLB is not going to look into it any further. I'm pretty sure they have figured it all out.
I'm pretty sure it's one of those Japanese sword.
Seppuku?
Yeah.
Did you watch Shogun?
Thank you. I just started it.
Oh my gosh, Shogun's so good. Yeah, definitely Seppuku.
Okay. Well, while we're here, I watched the first three. I was like, it's okay. I watched the fourth one. I was like, okay. It's picking up now. Because everyone's like, it's so good. But I'm like,
I mean, it's not as action heavy as people might suspect. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are moments, obviously, but it's a lot more about just. I mean, it's like beautiful though. It's shot so well.
It is shot really nicely. Cinematography.
Yeah, it's hard to just like costume just,
design.
Like,
it's really
nice
good.
To just
all that.
Yeah, like.
All right, Joe. Last one. Jimmy busts MCL. Oh no.
Sad.
R.I.P. Jimmy. Get well soon. But of course, he doesn't go without giving us a farewell gift, where he roasts Tyler Hero on the team bus for going 9-for-27. He kept chanting it. 9-for-27, 9-for-27, 9-for-27. And of course, Tyler Hero cracks like anybody does. And then he swung at Jimmy and he missed. Mm-hmm. And then Jimmy Butler says, 9-for-28, 9-for-28. He missed again.
Of course. That is classic Jimmy.
This guy's a menace.
Pretty sad. I feel like they would have won that game if Jimmy were healthy.
Yeah.
They were.
Couldn't do anything.
And it just made me think, man, Eric Spoelstra, this man comes prepared.
Yeah.
Like that zone was just looking unbeatable.
Yeah. And they were up double digits on the Sixers.
And they were reading. Jimmy had like four or five steals.
Yeah.
He was getting, even after the injury, still reading the passes. Yeah. And so a little bit sad.
Exactly,
we're not going to have.
Play. Even the final plays. Where he got
crazy
the foul call.
Yeah.
That was genius.
He got the foul call before the ball is inbounded to get an extra free throw, to get an extra point.
Because they were down 5.
And then they hit the 3. It's crazy. And there was only just not enough time left. But
yeah, there was just not enough time. But like the thought behind all of that was insane.
Genius. Yeah.
Like it's truly genius. Insane.
Yeah, it's genius.
Anyway. All right, Joe, let's go all day cray cray. We're going to talk about teams that may make the conference finals. Okay, so we had a thing when we were talking about the rundown. I said, yeah, so Lakers, Warriors, Celtics. And Joe was like, we always talk about those guys. Always. So I was like, fine, Joe, fine. Let's talk about some other people. So Joe, first one up, let's talk about the Mavs, the Dallas Mavericks. You got Luka, 34-9-10, 49% shooting. He's probably going to be third in MVP voting. You got Kyrie, 26-5-5 on around 50-40-90. He doesn't have it exactly, but he's right around 50-40-90. Amazing again. They went 18-9 after the All-Star break, and they need to beat the Clippers and then OKC to make the conference finals. Joe, all day cray-cray, the Mavs will make the conference finals.
I'm going to go all day.
Ooh.
I mean, is it a crazy take? They need to beat the Clippers and then OKC. If we're going to go with our classic logic, which is best
classic
player.
Logic. Best player.
I mean, Luka clearly is the best player in this group at this point. You know, SGA is up and coming. Kawhi's. Look, Kawhi's too much on the downside of the hill, and SGA is too much on the upside of the hill, right? SGA a little too young, Kawhi's a little too old. Luka's
standing
like
in
right
the middle.
There right now.
Standing
Luka
in the middle.
Luka is right there, man. He's 24 years old, 6 years in the league, led the league in scoring this year. Yep. 34-10-9, as you said, 49% shooting. And Cliff, I love this one. He's shooting 38% from three this year. That's best of his career. And he's shooting 10 a game. I don't love that.
10 a game.
Shoot over 10
That's
a game.
Insane.
That is a lot. But you know, Luka, like, he's just OP, man. Like he is just. Can he be stopped? Like when he's on offense and you really need a bucket. I mean, he's one of the very few guys. Because the thing is, he doesn't have this massive weakness. He doesn't rely on something too much. I think that's the thing. He's not like a shooter. You know, like Steph is a shooter, right? And you got to really, if you can box him in and take that away from him, yes, he can get to the bucket. But that's not what he obviously wants to be doing the whole game, right? And LeBron, you know, especially in the past, LeBron's a little, he's shooting a lot more now threes. But remember in the past, it was like, okay, clog up the paint, you know, make him shoot. And that was the way to like slow him down. Yeah. The thing about Luka is like the whole game, it doesn't feel like he's dominating because of something.
Yeah.
He's just like doing whatever. That's what it appears to be what he's doing. He's just like, yeah, okay, you know, I'll just throw some lobs.
This
All right,
guy,
you're going to guard me one-on-one. I'm going to get some layups, some and-ones.
Jokic and SGA to me all feel the same. You're just kind of like, how do they have so many points, so many assists, so many rebounds? Yeah. Like, yeah. What are they doing that is so athletic or like out of the norm? You're just like, what?
The only thing, though, for me, for SGA is, especially this year, he's small. Like, his body, his frame.
Yeah.
Right? He's not the biggest guy. And so I feel like he's going to get roughed up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they call a lot less fouls, and he hasn't really experienced it to this degree before, right? Where he's the star, he's coming in, everyone's game planning for him, and I feel like it's going to be a little bit of a rude awakening. He's going to have a couple nights where he's real off. He didn't really do that. I don't remember him having a terrible shooting night the whole regular season. Like, I can't I'm sure he had. I'm sure he did, but I can't really remember.
But that's what I mean, right? It's like all three of these guys, like, it doesn't wow you, like, while you're watching the game. You're just
SJ's still kind of athletic, though, to me.
His stop and start is good.
Yeah, I mean, his Hezzy is sick. A lot of the stuff he does is nice. I mean, look, literally, Luka, it's impressive in my brain, but not to my eyes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what the heck? How did he do that? Like, my brain is trying to process. This is Jokic, too. Like, a lot of his passes, it's like, how the heck did he do that? Or even the Sombor shuffle, his move, right? It's so nonsensical. Like, in my brain, I'm like, you can't do that. You can't shoot off that foot.
Yeah.
Like, make it from three. But when you look at it, you're like, that's not cool. Like, if somebody did that in pickup, you're not like, you're like impressed in your brain, but nobody's like, oh, you know, you're just like, what the
you're
heck?
Just confused.
You're like, wait, what did he do? And you're all
like, how is that possible?
That? Yeah, you're like, that's what it is. And that's how Luka and Jokic, I mean, SJ to me, he's more of a traditionally like athletic and good, just like I understand why he's good. Luka right now, I think he is entering his prime, his prime. And so I don't really think, I mean, if it were somebody else like Phoenix maybe, or even the Lakers, like I feel like there needs to be some other factor. Obviously Denver. There needs to be some other factor, like championship experience or, you know, something else with this squad. But, you know, you got Clippers curse and OKC, you know, the baby OKC. I mean, I feel like Luka and Kyrie are going to be good. I feel like they're going to be fine. Oh, one other thing before you get into your stuff.
Yeah.
Another thing that I love about Dallas right now, past 15 games of the season, number one in defensive rating. That's the thing. They're playing D, especially after the All-Star break. And so if you look at the whole season, right, they're 18th in defensive rating, including the fact that they've been first for the last 15 games, meaning – like, overall, you're not going to tell how good they are on defense if you look at the whole season. Like, you're going to think, oh, they're just like, whatever. And people are going to think, oh, their offense. Their offense has kind of been whatever. It's their defense has been amazing. Derek Jones Jr. and Daniel Gafford. I mean, Daniel Gafford pickup like, just a steal. Just an amazing pick. Those are the kinds of pickups that Phoenix needed. They needed the Daniel Gafford and the PJ Washington. They didn't get anything. I don't know what the heck they were doing. But, like, that's exactly what Phoenix needed. If Phoenix got those pickups, I think I would be a lot higher on them. But they just look whatever. They look like what Dallas was. And Dallas now looks like a serious contender to me, considering they have who's probably top three in the league, Luka, right now with Jokic and Giannis or whoever you want to put in there. So, you know, I like their chances. I love their chances to go to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I think their best five-man lineup right now in net rating, Kyrie, Luka, Derek Jones Jr., PJ Washington, Gafford. You know, two of those guys they picked up at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
You know, and they started to hit their stride.
Cliff, when you watch the Mavs, do you know why I never could, like, believe in the Mavs? Because you got Dwight Powell out there.
Yeah.
Because you got Maxi Kleber out there. Because you got I'm like, dude, how can this team ever be – you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm watching that.
Real.
I'm like, this team can't be good, right? How are they going to be good when Maxi is supposed to be, like, locking down the inside? Like, that's yeah. No. And you got Luka and Kyrie on the perimeter. Like, you're not going to be good on defense like that. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you just think – and then now they have Gafford, and you're like, oh. And they got Derek Jones freaking flying all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, okay. Maybe they can be good. Like, maybe they can be good on defense.
And all those guys just get easy looks because, look, they don't really have a solidified lineup, right? They have Luka, Kyrie, and a rotating 20 to 25-minute lineup of everybody else, which is really interesting. We talked about the Kage Bunshins of Denver long ago. This is basically the same thing. It's just interchangeable parts, but all of them play hard-nosed defense, and yes. all of them shoot mid-range jump shots.
Yes, it's defense, and they could finish.
Yeah.
That's the difference between these guys.
Finish
you
at the
don't
rim.
See Kleber posterizing anybody, okay? But Derek Jones, Gafford, I mean, Gafford made 33 buckets in a row, right?
He did.
Because they're mostly
all,
dunks.
Almost all dunks.
That's why. I mean, that's good. You need guys like that, especially I think that way enhances guys like Luka and Kyrie, who when you have guys like that around them, they're going to be it makes the threats that much more serious.
To me, like the they have that. That's one solid point for them. The second solid point you talked about, Luka being unlocked, right? He's reached his true potential. Can't feel his Reiatsu. Third thing to me is Kyrie. His numbers, that's his numbers. He always gets that no matter what. Right. But to me, the most important thing, last year, Kyrie stories all over.
Yeah, of
it
course.
It was everywhere.
I mean, last year, Cliff, last 3 years, right?
And then Luka was like, basketball's not fun anymore. We're like, uh-oh. But this year... Kyrie stories are very far and few between. And you know the ones that actually do come out? It's about his game.
Yes.
His layup packages.
Dude.
Like
his
handles. His
alley-oop dunk. Oh my gosh.
His hanging jumper over Kawhi where Kawhi got his whole hand on the ball and he still made the shot.
His left-handed game winner.
His left-handed game winner.
What the freak? I don't even know what to call it. Hook, floater. 20-foot game winner over Jokic, who's just like afterwards can't even just like smiles. Like, I don't know, what are you supposed to do with that? How do you guard that?
To me, that Kyrie's gonna take them as far as they can go. To me, right? Like Luka, of course, we know what he's gonna do. We know what he's capable of doing. We know what he is capable of doing to Phoenix. We know what he did. But the ceiling, like how far they can go, really is Kyrie, right? Kyrie to me feels like Cyclops, and last year it was Cyclops without the goggles on. He was just freaking spraying everything. He's just going. He didn't
I
know
see,
how to control.
I
he's just going.
That's why you're okay. He's spraying. Everywhere he looks, everywhere he looks is destruction.
Yeah,
don't let him
he's
look
just
at you.
He's just. He's always screaming about it too. He's just like panicked, like ah.
Well, that's the thing, right, about Cyclops. Either he is just destroying or he can't do anything. He has to close his eyes.
Yeah, or he has to close his eyes, right? So, like, sit on the bench. Don't play. Don't play.
See.
But this season, I feel like Kyrie put on the goggles. You're like, oh, shoot.
Cliff,
like,
I'm going to.
He's in control?
Now, we've discussed this. You should be watching X-Men 97. I don't know why you're not. It is clearly the best thing Marvel has put out since Endgame. Like, bar none.
Wow.
And easily. Wow. It's easily. Okay. And by the way, let me just tell you. Some people are saying it's better than Endgame.
Wow.
There are serious people
here it is.
In the, you know, the nerd space who are like saying it's better than Endgame. I don't think so, but I love it. And Cliff, Kyrie, to me, he is Gambit.
Mm.
And he is like unlocked Omega level Gambit. People don't know, but Gambit is, his powers obviously, when you think about it, you're like, why can't he do more than throw cards? Well, he can, okay? He could charge up technically like the whole planet and blow it up, but that's why he actually had to nerf himself in the comics. Man, Cliff, but see, this is not going to hit for you because you're not watching this show. But Gambit is so good in this show. Gambit's so good. And I'm going to say another thing that's going to make zero sense to you right now. But Luca is Magneto. Because Magneto's in this show. And this combo, it's like Magneto and Gambit. And if people out there have seen the show... Man, this Cliff is so confused right now because he has no
idea.
I'm
like, what? What are they? What those two about? Guys, but, they but like, you know, never blow work together.
But you know Magneto. Magneto's OP. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's Omega level. And that is, you know, whenever something happens and you're just like, oh, Magneto, he could just beat everybody. There's a scene I'll tell you just one thing from the show. You know, there's a moment in the show where they come to arrest Magneto and they're like, oh, we got the plastic guns. You know, they come in the vehicles and they're like, yeah, we got the, you know, don't try to turn our guns against us, right? But then he just takes the helicopters. It's like, but you came in helicopters, right? You came in the metal helicopters. Why do you think he needs the guns? Yeah, and that's Luca. You know, you take one thing away. He's like, oh, I'll go to the post. I'll go to the post and get an Anduin. Oh, you're not going to guard? I'm going to shoot the step back three, right? Oh, I'm going to pass it to the corner. And Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to make a wide open there. So, to me, Cliff, you just don't even understand what I'm saying right now. But
well, I'm glad Gambit's coming off well because he was always our favorite in the original. Oh, so if he comes off well here, that's great.
Yeah, and Cyclops is going through some stuff in this series right now. So
he always does. He's emotionally tortured.
Cyclops in this series is more like past Kyrie and less like present Kyrie. I would say Gambit is more like current Kyrie. And if Kyrie can reach the heights, I don't know, then maybe sky's the limit for this team.
Maybe. I mean, Kyrie is 32. He's at the point where, like, his emotional prime is getting close.
If PJ Washington can somehow pull through and step into that rogue role, then, you know, I think the sky's the limit for this team. he could somehow elevate himself. I don't know.
And DJJ, the Nightcrawler role?
He is like Nightcrawler. He's all over the place.
And Gafford is Colossus?
then you know what? This team, they got no Wolverine, unfortunately. But It's hard to have Wolverine.
Plot armor.
I don't think there's a Wolverine in the league right now.
Plot armor. it was 2014 Russell Westbrook. That's who it was.
That's true.
All right, Joe, let's move forward to the other side of the bracket. We got the Suns. KD, Book, Beal. You know them. That's who they traded for. That's who the team is. KD, 75 games played. Book, 68 games played. Beal, 53 games played. He was hurt. KD, 27-7-5. Book, 27-5-7. Beal, 18-4-5. They'll have to beat the T-Wolves and the Nuggets to get to the conference finals. Joe, all day or cray-cray. The Suns will make the conference finals.
I mean, I have to go cray-cray. As sad as it is, I have to go cray-cray. Yeah. I really want them to. I'd be so happy if they did.
Yeah. You love Book. You love
KD. I love Book. I love KD. Beal. I've never loved Beal, but I've had to defend him against you.
You have. He's like a default choice.
Yeah, yeah. I had you made me defend him by saying ridiculous things about him.
And look, they're on the same team. How is this happening? How is this life? But, LeBron's a Laker. How is this all life?
But yeah, unfortunately, they haven't looked like a top five team at any point this season? Have they looked like a top five team at any point this season? I don't think so. I think even I would give like, I mean, obviously the Nuggets have.
Yeah.
I think at some points OKC has. At some points the T-Wolves have. At some points Boston has. I mean, Boston has, obviously, like throughout. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then even the fifth spot, even if it was a revolving spot, I'd say maybe I'd give the Bucks like here and there. There's like little moments. The Philly here and there when Embiid was healthy, like I'd give them moments. Yeah, the Lakers here and there, I'd give them some moments. But like I don't think they ever had like a 10-game stretch where you thought, oh, wow, Phoenix is really – I mean, they did have a one small stretch. I think it was less than 10 games, maybe like 8 games, yeah, where you thought, oh, okay, maybe they're putting it together. They're looking a little bit better. But unfortunately, not only has their defense not looked great, but their offense hasn't looked great.
Mm.
It's a lot of your turn, my turn.
Yep.
Not a lot of flowing. You know, I mean, maybe if Beal were like 100% healthy the entire season – and he were just like locking guys up, because I think he's capable when he's healthy, but we haven't really seen that either. Maybe if they made some moves and they got a Daniel Gafford.
Instead of a Nurkic?
Yeah, they just, so many question marks, you know? And unfortunately, everybody's health is also questionable. Like, Katie's not totally healthy. Booker's missed games. Beal hasn't been healthy for seasons. And then Nurkic hasn't been healthy either. So your four best players are all injury risks? I mean, that's not good. It doesn't bode well for you. And then one of your best guys has been Grayson Allen, who I don't trust at all.
Mm.
Yeah, who disappeared on the Bucks when they needed him most. And who in the past has been kind of a punk and like a bully, you know, and like, you know, not that that has anything to do with this per se, but like, I just feel like that's not the kind of player that's going to be reliable, you know, if you really need him to step up. And so, I don't know. It's just, I can't see them beating the Nuggets. I could see them beating the T-Wolves, of course.
Yeah.
But barring an injury, I can't see them beating the Nuggets. Like, maybe if Jamal gets hurt or something, like, they'll have a chance. But other than that, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be tough.
There's so many games this season for the Suns that are, like, the quintessential problem with this team, which is they'll have games where quarters 1 through 3, they're getting destroyed, right? They're getting killed. They're losing by 20.
Yeah.
And then in the fourth quarter, they somehow overcome because they have KD and Booker.
Yeah.
And then, you know, those guys aren't afraid, and those guys are clutch, and those guys are big shot makers. So they kind of throw away the playbook, and they just go after it. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But those kinds of heroics, to me, aren't really long-term success, right? The other thing is, like, their coach is Frank Vogel. Right. Yeah. And what's interesting is like their defense, like if you look at like their field goal percentage of their opponents, it's not bad. Right. It's like they're like 6th, 7th. But to me, this team needs an offensive minded coach because the flow of the game is so critical for these three mega people. Like Wade, Bosch, and LeBron had Spoelstra. And we know what Spoelstra has done, you know? So you got to figure it out, like how to work these three people together. Here's the one thing that is a plus that I didn't know would be a plus was Beal has really taken on that Chris Bosh, Kevin Love role, sure. That the third guy that people forget he was actually good at a certain point. Like,
like yeah, he's averaged like 30 points per game.
Like people forget, like he was actually like a real actual player. No matter what I say, like these like Beal stats now are exactly what I used to say he was, but like he's adopted that. But to me, it's like not enough. There isn't flow, right? This is just one-on-one basketball that they're really, really, really good at. And then they somehow pull games out, but that's not enough to beat a team like the Nuggets, who are the best team in basketball.
Yeah. I think, too, it's kind of, it's a little bit of a knock on KD. Mm. But I don't think KD, even now, realizes the value of, like, coaching. Mm. Even now. Because it was baffling to me when he thought, like, he didn't like Steve Kerr. You know, when he would go back and forth with Steve Kerr about kind of like, hey, just let us play. Remember, there were all these discussions about that. Because KD's just like, hey, we just, like, basically, I can figure it out on the court. We don't need to do all this, like, offense. You know, now, obviously, he kind of came over and they did, the Warriors had just an amazingly unguardable offense because of the weapons, but because of how they deployed those weapons.
Yeah.
Right. And then I think KD thought, oh, I'll just go to whatever. I can do this with anyone. Let me go to Brooklyn. And then he goes with Kyrie and they get Steve Nash. Makes no sense. Right. And then it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I think even then KD thought, whatever. We'll get to the playoffs. And in the playoffs, I'll just take over. And he kind of did. Right. But then they lost.
Yeah.
And then the next year, it was like the same mentality. And then they got destroyed in the playoffs.
By the Celtics.
Right? Like the Celtics clamped him like crazy. He couldn't even do anything. Right. And then, like, after all that, right? And then the next year, and then he goes to Phoenix, and then, you know, now he's in Phoenix. Like, after all that stuff, right? I feel like KD didn't learn that, like, oh, organization, culture, coaching, it all matters. I feel like he still, when he looks back, he just thinks, like, injuries, you know, like, not the right fit, people weren't happy. But that's not, like, that's part of it. But I don't think he realizes, like, yeah, but you can't just rely on your ability all the time. You have to have plays. Like, you have to have culture. You have to have coaching. You have to have, like, a mentality that comes with all of that stuff that's, like, second nature. If it's, like, second nature, it's a lot easier to access it than if you have to, like, pull it out with a speech or something. You know what I mean? Or with some kind of specific intentionality that's only going to happen in that moment. And I just feel like the way that KD talks about the past and the present, he still kind of has that mentality. Like, he hasn't learned anything. Like, he doesn't come – like, he didn't come out of that Brooklyn situation thinking, you know what? I got to do something different than what I did in Brooklyn. You know, like, we can't just rely on this and that. It's like, we have to work every day. Like, we have to work every week and improve and get better on these rotations and, like, understanding these plays and, like, doing the – I feel like KD's always kind of just like, yeah, whatever, you know, like it'll happen. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, you can't control everything. And it's like that. Some of that's good because it makes you not stress too much, right? But then some of it's bad because you don't improve. And I think that's what I see with this. They haven't gotten better. Like, I, you know, there weren't any points in the season where I'm like, oh, wow, they're so much better now. Like, look at the defense. Like, look at the offense. Look how it's flowing. It just always looks the same. It's like KD hitting stupid shots that, like, nobody on earth should make. And then, like, Booker, too. Like, Booker catches fire. He scores 60 or something. And then you're just like, wow, that is amazing. But I think every time I watch the Suns, I think, wow, KD's amazing. Wow, Booker's amazing. And there hasn't been one time I watched the Suns and thought, this is an amazing team. Whereas, like, every time you watch Denver, that's all you could think. Like, every time you watch Denver, you're like, how can anybody possibly beat this team? Like, they're so good.
it's fascinating. Maybe he's, like, Loki right as he enters the TVA. Like, where it's just he's just a god. Like, everything he's doing is right, you know?
Yeah.
Like that, like, it's just luck, all those things.
Yeah, he kind of is, actually. Like, yeah, but he needs to get to that. He needs to get to the end of the Loki season 2 arc where he actually accepts and he realizes who he's supposed to be. That will unlock his full power, but
it's too late. He's running out of time.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's it's probably like what Loki thought. That's probably what Loki thought.
That's true.
Toward the end,
world,
right?
The world ended every single time.
Yeah, everything
and then he
was,
had to go back in time.
Falling apart, and then he
as long as he could just shift through time, you know,
his true powers.
He just got to shift
unlocked
his
the
mind.
3-point dunk, and then it's just over.
Just gotta go, you know. All right, Joe. Let's head east. We got the Cavs. super strange season for the Cavs.
Yeah.
You got injuries first, of course. Donovan, Garland, Mobley all played under 57 games. Then you got Mobley, who's supposed to rise. I mean, he started the season with a 33-14-3-3 game. And that was game three. And he didn't score 30 again.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's so weird. Then, of course, the swirling conversation about Donovan and his team next year, which I don't understand because he's under contract next year. So what are we talking about? So they're going to have to beat the Magic. They're going to have to beat the Celtics to make the conference finals. Joe, all day cray cray, Cavs will make the conference finals.
I mean, obviously not. They're not going to beat the Celtics. I mean, that's ridiculous. And now that the Heat are out, I don't know. There's just no chance. Yeah, the path is just – the Celtics' path has become so easy.
Is Bulls, Cavs, or Magic?
It's ridiculous. It's, like, so easy. So, no, I mean, I don't think
But well-deserved since they are the number one seed, sure.
Right, right. And I don't think – but the Cavs are not the type of team that can put any fear into the Celtics to cause them to choke, which is their one weakness, right? But the Cavs aren't good enough to do that, right?
Yeah.
So, no. And also, they're just weird this year. They needed the Knicks year. Like, they needed to have a year where they come together and they're all, like, united, right? But they've had so much just chatter about weird stuff, like outside distractions, injuries. It's just not the year, right? But, Cliff, let me just say this to you, okay? When you said, why are we talking about Dame? He can't get traded. He's under contract. Didn't I tell you, Cliff? Didn't I say?
You did say.
Didn't I say if the player asks for a trade, he's going to get traded?
You did right? say.
We had the same conversation about everybody. Same conversation about, well, they're under contract. Why are we even talking about? Cliff, it's a different era. All right. You got to get your head out of the 90s. Contracts don't mean nothing. All right. It doesn't matter if they're on contract. They just need to post it on social media, and the morale of the team is going to drop through the floor, and the fans are going to be pissed, and then they're going to trade him. So if he wants to go, he can go. Like, they are gonna let him go, because it's better to trade him and get something for him than to have him sit out, not play, and then your team sucks. And then, you know, the morale is down, the fans are mad, you're losing ticket sales, like all that kind of stuff. That's all. Nobody needs any media companies to print anything. You just tweet something, you just put it out on X. That's all you need. Or you just text Woj, you know, or Shams or whoever. Or if you're LeBron, you text Wendy. And and that's it, you know, or Nick Wright or whoever. No, Nick Wright, as much as he loves LeBron, I'm positive does not have LeBron's number.
He's trying. He's trying really bad.
And so if he wants to get traded, he can get traded. I don't really think he's going anywhere, though. I think all the talk is with the Knicks. He's not going to the Knicks, dude. Why would Donovan go play with Jay? Like, that makes no sense.
No.
That makes no sense. He needs to play with, like, a big guard or a wing. Like, he needs a Paul George or somebody like that to be next to, who can, like, lock up on D and, like, also have some offense, but who's clearly not an alpha. Like, that kind of guy. That's the guy he needs to play with.
He should be looking at the Pelicans as somewhere that he wants to
go. Oh, my gosh. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's exactly where he needs to go. He needs
that's
to go
exactly
to the Pelicans.
Yep. That's the perfect
spot. That's an upgrade for both teams.
Yeah. They get CJ.
Oh, no. They can't trade him for CJ.
You mean Ingram?
Yeah, they got to trade for Ingram or Zion. It has to be one or the other. But I think I think they'll be better. I think they should trade him for Zion, actually. Yeah. Put
there
Donovan
you go.
And Ingram together. And the rest of that team is just, like, set already, actually.
Yeah. They got a good team.
They have
they
good
just
shooting,
need a
good
alpha.
Defense. They need an alpha.
They need an alpha.
Yeah. And Zion's not the real quick, though. Props to Zion for dropping 40 in the Laker game.
He did.
Before he got hurt.
He did.
Which is the problem.
as we predicted.
Yeah, as you can't predicted. Lose 25 pounds during the season. Like, that's not part of it. You got to do that before the season starts. I think it'll be better. You're going to be
in body's better shocked. Shape. It's like, what is happening? Why do I weigh less? Yeah, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming, but he did great. He has the left-handed like hook shot slash layup that no one can stop. Like it's like even AD was just like threw his hands up
when he gets in the lane. No, literally, Cliff. I've watched so many Pelicans games, okay, because Zion was on my fantasy team. That's why I watched so many games.
Yeah.
Literally, I didn't watch a single game where he looked engaged for the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
He takes plays off. Mm-hmm. You're telling me this man... Cliff, do you know how many 40-point games Zion had before the play-in?
Zero.
One! He had one 40-point game.
And he averaged before... like 26 points per game.
Yeah, I made a joke about 50-point games. One 40-point game? Are you kidding me? When you can score at will like that and you shoot like 60% from the field, you have one 40-point game for your career? No, that's ridiculous. I mean, if one out of every five games he played as hard as he possibly could for the whole game, he would score 55 points. Once every five games. Just on layups. They can't stop him. He's too big. They can't stop him. He's like Shaq.
He's strong.
I mean, maybe not 50, but 40 point. He would have one 40-point game every five games. Like, I'm not kidding, right? That's like prime Shaq. When you had prime Shaq, you knew he could go off anytime.
Look at what the Lakers did with him. They game planned for him. AD is attempting to be defensive player of the year. And they couldn't stop him.
Maybe he is defensive player.
Maybe he is.
Amazing this year, yeah.
But they couldn't stop him. Like,
they can't.
Like, literally could not stop him.
It's like science, Cliff. Like, it's physics. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, when he's moving towards you, if his mass is greater than yours, you're not going to be able to stop him.
Yeah.
And then it's a matter of, like, he's good at these angle layups.
Yeah.
Right? Or, like, hook shots.
Yeah.
You can't go through a person's body to get that ball. It's not physically possible if he just did that more. But he's tired. You see it every 10. You could see how tired he is. He just throws the ball to the opposite side and wants Ingram to just do something with it. He doesn't even want to be in the play. And he's not useful as a decoy, obviously, because he doesn't shoot threes. So, you know, it's like that's a big detriment to your entire offense. If you have a guy who can pretty much score at will, but refuses to, and then also doesn't help you when it's your turn to score. That's it's hard, like the, man. I feel for Ingram. He's like, he has to work so hard to get his buckets.
He does, because he has to ISO. ISO every time.
He has to.
And then the double comes.
The double comes. And if he gives the ball to Zion, there's no advantage.
Zion's not going for an offensive rebound.
It just starts over, and then he's got to, you know, bully his way to a layup, and then Ingram doesn't even get an assist for that. You pass out of a double team to an open guy and he dribbles it three times before he shoots it, so you don't get an assist.
Last thing about the Cavs, I don't know if they're gonna beat the Magic. Honestly,
I don't think so.
The Magic look good.
The Magic.
We talked about the Suns, how they're like super ISO. This Magic team is like flowing together.
Yes,
they are so smooth together that everyone knows their role. Everyone does it. Franz, that guy is money, dude. Franz is money. That guy is so good.
Little Euro, slow Euro, man.
That guy's so good. Another guy where you're just confused. Like, how are you in the NBA? Just doesn't make sense. But how are you dropping 25 a game or whatever?
He kind of reminds me of like Hidu.
Mm.
Like in his prime, you know. Mm. I mean, he's not quite as good as Hidu in his prime yet, but I think he'll get there and maybe surpass him. But yeah, he's got that kind of game. Like, he's just like, he's a shooter, but he also drives. He likes to get physical.
Yeah,
you know, like in the lane, he finishes well around the rim. But you know, he's not as good of a shooter as Hidu yet, but I think he'll get there.
The Magic looked good. And then look at the Cavs. Like, they started 10-9 to start the season. And then they went 28-11. They had a good stretch. And then they ended the season 10-14. It's like, what? What is happening? They're so weird. Like, are Donovan and Garland good together when they're healthy? Like, does it make sense for them to play together? Because I looked up the Cavs' two-man lineups, the best net rating. Donovan and Garland ranked 25th on the Cavs.
It's and not surprising.
And just FYI.
It's not surprising.
Dean Wade, 5 of the top 6.
D-Wade, dude. That guy needs more playing time, right?
He's awesome.
He needs more touches.
He's awesome.
He literally is D-Wade 2.0. Okay. Okay, really, though, like, they have the same problem as the Hawks. That's it. Yeah, you can't have Trey and Murray together, and you can't have Donovan and Garland together. It just doesn't work. It's too much overlap. We talked about this before, but it's too much overlap. They can't play like that. It's not going to work. You know, it's not a Jalen and Jason situation.
Yeah.
Right? Because
those are wings.
Because wings is different, and like, especially defensively.
Yeah.
I feel like, because they can both play defense still, and so you can have them both on the court at the same time. They do have the point guard problem. Like, they do have the neither of them is really good at handling the ball problem, but it's not as prominent as a problem as neither of your two front court, backcourt guys can guard.
Yeah.
Like, that's worse. Like, if you got nothing at the point of attack, you're just putting your bigs in trouble, like, every single time. And even though offensively you're amazing, defensively you just got no chance like that. You can't have two guys like that, right? You can have one guy like that. You can have Brunson, you know? But you got to have an Ananobi or something. Like, you got to have another guy who's, like, a defensive monster over there. Exactly. You have to have, a tough, hard-nosed guy who's going to get in. Or, like, Josh Hart with his freaking random triple doubles like this, you know? Like,
yeah, Josh Hart.
You got to have guys like that, you know, in there. And they don't have those guys. They have a bunch of front court guys, but those guys don't. They're not going to help.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah. Your problem's on the perimeter.
Yeah.
That's the problem. All right, Joe, last one. We got the Sixers. Of course, Embiid, he missed 43 games, but he was tearing it up before. He was 40-13-5 on 61% in December, before he went down. He's 39-5 in the 5 games since he's returned. Maxey, he's had to carry. I put that in quotes because they were 16-27, you know, without Embiid. They're going to have to beat the Knicks, and they're going to have to face the Bucks or the Pacers to make the conference finals. Joe, Sixers will make the conference finals all day or cray-cray.
Let's see. Knicks and Bucks or Pacers. I will say all day.
Ah.
I will say all day. I know people are saying that they might not even beat the Knicks. The Sixers are clearly better than the Knicks if healthy.
Yeah.
Now, Embiid doesn't seem 100% healthy.
He doesn't.
So that might be an issue. I will say if Embiid is 100% healthy, not 100% because he's clearly not 100%. Like, if Embiid is 85% or more healthy,
yeah,
85% or better, I will say yes, they will. Because like you said, Embiid, like, when he was healthy, he was looking just unstoppable.
Similar to what you said about Luka, like, after he put the sad clown down, after he got the MVP award, and he realized, like, who cares? Like, he let it go. And then he got Nick Nurse to come in and be like, hey, just go out and play, dude. Like, you're our best player. And then they purged Harden.
It's King of Hearts, Cliff. It's King of Hearts. It was the clown. He lowered the mask. He got the new heart. And after he got the new heart, for those who know what we're talking about, if you know, you know. If you know, you know.
This is so stupid. This is so stupid.
But once he got the new heart, Cliff, he was unstoppable. He was. Yeah. So if his body can hold up, I would say what I have seen from Embiid this year makes me believe that he has both the heart and the head.
Oh.
Yeah. So the question is, does he have the body? Is his body going to hold up this time? right? If his body, but in the past, his body's been okay, and we saw that either his head or his heart was not in it. And I think from what I've seen from him this year makes me believe, okay, I think the heart and the head have finally arrived. Is his body going to hold up, though? And that's, of course, a question for Embiid for his whole career. I think, considering the tougher matchup will be the first one, where there's going to be more breaks and where there's going to be, you know, more days between games, because in the first round there's always like – there's like 3 days sometimes.
Yeah.
I think they'll – man, the Knicks are tough, though. Probably seven-game series.
Knicks are tough.
Yeah, they're tough. I mean, look, Jalen Brunson – we gave Jalen Brunson his props before people were starting to say, oh, he deserves to be like –
we called him the 18th best player in the league.
I mean, but by like month into the season, I was saying he's like probably top 10.
We
had that discussion. Yeah, because
we picked him to go up.
Because people are trying to say like, oh, but he's, you know, small and whatnot. But like at the end of the day, you just got to look at performance and production, right? And his performance and production has been amazing. I think he's going to be on some MVP ballots because he's probably performance and production wise top five. Dude, what was I looking at? Dude, Jalen Brunson, last 15 games of the season, Knicks went 10-5. He led the league in scoring 34 points per game on 48% shooting and 40% from three and 86% from the line. Like, he was amazing.
And the Mavs let him go for nothing.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole other
thing.
I think Luka is – I think both Luka and Kyrie have learned a little bit. They've changed a little bit.
Mm.
You know, Luka's not leaning too much into the law of LeBron.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kyrie –
his usage rate went down.
It did. You could tell. Like, on the court,
37 to 36, but
– he doesn't dribble the air of the ball as much anymore. And I think he lets Kyrie just go off if Kyrie's feeling it.
Yeah,
and he just kind of just does whatever. Like, he's fine to just chill for a little bit. And so, but I will pick the Sixers. It's not a super confident pick, but I will say they got the best player. If healthy, they're probably the best team. Bucks have tons of problems. Giannis, we don't know what's going on with him, whether he'll even be healthy. And they might even lose to the Pacers, in which case I don't give the Pacers a chance against the Sixers because, you know, just experience and whatnot.
Joe, for those that are picking the Bucks, let me ask you, when is the last time Doc went to the conference finals? What year do
Doc?
You think?
I don't even know. Well, the Clippers never did with him, right? Oh, wait. Wait, did they?
Joe, the last time
I'm forgetting.
Doc Rivers made the conference finals was 2012 with the Celtics. That is the last time he made the conference finals. Not the finals, the conference finals. Joe, in 2012 was when the first Avengers movie was released. That is the last time Doc Rivers has been in the finals. He's coached many years, many, many years after that. As you guys have known, with the Clippers, of course.
Oh, I love this. Cliff!
With the Sixers.
Top domestic box office of 2012. Oh, number one, The Avengers. Number two, The Dark Knight Rises. Number three, The Hunger Games. The first one. Number four, Skyfall. Number five, Twilight, Breaking Dawn.
That's the
and
last
number six,
time.
The Amazing Spider-Man. Wow, a lot of sci-fi,
like,
comic book
movies. That's the last time Doc Rivers made the conference. And we know about that Celtics team, right? We know. Legendary Big Three. Outside of that, he has yet to make another conference finals.
Yeah.
He had Chris Paul. He had Blake. He had Embiid. He had this team.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. So, basically, oh, my gosh. I so hope that the Sixers and Bucks play in the second round. Gosh, that's going to be amazing. Nick Nurse beating Doc Rivers with his own team.
With his own team. With his own
the
team.
Uno
that
reverse.
Got, that got, quote-unquote, worse because they got rid of Harden, right? Quote-unquote.
Yeah. You know what's the best, Cliff? You know what's the best? What is the best? When you're at the arcade, you go, let's go back, okay? You go back to the arcade days, and you are just owning someone at Street Fighter, and they're like, no, 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 dude, it's my joystick. My joystick's messed up.
Yeah.
You go, all right, let's switch then. And then you just own them with the broken joystick, the broken controller.
Because do you remember
that's what's about to happen? Yeah,
who the Sixers got for Harden?
Who did the Sixers get for Harden? I don't even know. Yeah.
They got Batum. And guess who was awesome? Guess who was awesome?
Oh my gosh. Nicholas Batum. It saved them against the Heat. I mean, Jimmy hobbled, yes, but Batum went off.
And they got
steals,
some picks. Right?
Blocks.
They got picks.
What, six threes? How many threes did he have? Five threes? Like, just
telling
was
you,
unstoppable.
Nick Nurse is a great coach. He is a great coach. Oh. I don't care what anyone says. He's an awesome coach.
I'll tell you what I didn't see from Nick Nurse in the playing game. I didn't see him put his hands on his head. I didn't see him freaking out.
Did you see him blame
I didn't see him throw up one of these, like
did you see him blame
it
the
off?
Equipment manager? The flight team? Because that's what Doc Rivers did. He's like, we got to be better from the flight team. Like, they got to step up. Like, what are you talking? The flight team? The equipment manager needs to step up? What
guys,
are you talking about?
Guys, this family needs to be better. You, Josiah, I'm looking at you, six-year-old. You're the one bringing this family down. Like, you need to step it up.
For me to make a good podcast.
What
for
is
us
happening?
To
succeed as a family, you need to be better. You need to be better, okay?
He's like,
I'm not the leader. We're all the leaders, all right? We're all the leaders, okay?
Ubuntu, okay? Ubuntu. You heard that? That got me my championship ring. Oh, wait.
It's not my job to come up with plays. We all need to come up with plays, okay? You guys need to contribute, okay? Yeah.
And then Dame comes out and says he's the saddest he's ever been.
I feel so bad for Dame. I feel so bad. I love Dame. Dame is depressed. I mean, also Dame has like personal stuff. I think like he got divorced and
yeah.
whatnot.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
sucks, dude. I mean, he moved to Milwaukee. what is in Milwaukee?
Everything closes at 8:00.
What is there to do out there? He goes
so
from
he
Portland
goes home
to Milwaukee.
On YouTube and watches boxing videos by himself.
That is so sad, dude.
Maybe
we need
maybe
we need
the head
fly
coach
out
should
and
do
hang
something
out with
about
Dame.
That. I bet Dame would be on this podcast. He got nothing else to do.
He'd be like, "Yeah, CJ always asked me about this, but you know, I never wanted to.
That's the callback. That's the callback, everybody. That's the callback. All right, that's it, everyone. Thanks for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe,
watch
like, comment,
97.
Share, rate. Give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week for more nonsense. This is SBR with Flip and Joe. Peace!